are listening to Law and Gospel on this August the 7th in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, taking a look at readings for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. It's really hard to choose which one I'm going to talk about. The Old Testament readings about Job. Romans 10 has one of the most difficult passages in the Bible to speak about. And the Matthew passage is, of course, Peter walking on the water when Jesus commanded him. What we're going to do is I'll probably preach on the Romans 10 passage at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm this coming Sunday. But right now we're going to take a look at the Old Testament reading from the book of Job. Everybody understands Job to be a person whom God permitted evil to come to him. And then the question is, why does God allow suffering? In fact, in yesterday's Bible study at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, the theme we were taking a look at from a mercy book put out by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is that God desires us to suffer. What? Why would anybody want somebody else to suffer? Well, it's one thing to say they look forward to a person suffering. It's quite another thing to say, no, we plan on you suffering. I'll give you an example. Parents. If they didn't want their children to suffer, they would never take them to the dentist. They would never take them to a doctor to be inoculated. They would never agree to surgery after an accident. It's not that they look forward to the suffering of the child, but they know that if you're going to live in this world, suffering is part and parcel of life. In God's situation, as we found out yesterday, suffering is very important because it's a way in which God draws people back to himself. The worst suffering that ever occurred was on the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus drew to him the entire world in forgiving their sins. How many times have you called on the Lord for help when you were not suffering or not in need of help? That's why it's very important to understand that. One would assume that because the Bible says Job was really a good man, why would he need to suffer? Well, it's one thing to be a good man in the eyes of another. It's quite different to be good and perfect in the eyes of God. And it doesn't take long before we find out that Job really needs some help in this area. He questions God when terrible things happen to him. God, in our text for today, or for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, we're looking at it today, Job 38, it begins with verse 4, but I want to read verses 1 to 3. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me." Now, what's happened up to now, especially in light of some of Job's friends that are giving him this answer to his suffering? Obviously, you did something really bad, and God's just getting even with you. Well, God doesn't appreciate that. Job never gets to that point, but he does still question God, wondering why these things are happening to him. And what God has recognized, he's recognized an identity of Job that is not pure towards God. In other words, the more he talks to Job, the more Job begins to recognize really God's attitude towards him. Now, in this particular passage, you know, Job is talking to God and criticizing God. So God says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. See, here once more, God is talking in a way that he knows is not true. Job doesn't know these things. On what were the bases of the world sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from its womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. And he keeps on going. The last verse, 18. Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Here again, we get God using a form of sarcasm, saying, oh, Job, you are wise enough to speak out against me? Well, answer these questions then. And of course, Job is unable to answer any of them because he did not create the world. The Holy Trinity created the world. So, what is important about the book of Job? I believe the real importance of the book of Job is found at the end of the book of Job, where Job himself says things that show he has a better attitude towards God and a better understanding. It really is found in a few verses we're going to take a look at. At chapter 40, the Lord says to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Wow. What's happened here is Job is beginning to understand. Who is he to argue with God? And so in verse 4, Job says to the Lord, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. It's at that point that God really moves in with the law. And remember, what the law is accusation. This is one of the uses of the law. Accusation of us trying to be like God. And here's how Job was trying to be like God. It's in verse 7 and following of chapter 40. Dress for action like a man, the Lord says. I will question you, you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? And the next sentence, I believe, is the theme for the entire book of Job. Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? I enjoy watching certain programs like Cops and other detective. It's just really amazing. They catch a criminal. They find evidence on him. The most funny one was just recently where they're searching this man. And out of the bottom of his pants falls a pistol. And he says, I don't know where that came from. It's certainly not mine. And you just kind of chuckle to yourself. Or they'll pull over somebody and there'll be drugs in their seat. And they'll say something, oh, I'm borrowing the car from my friend. I can't remember his name that he let me have this car, but these must be his drugs. So he condemns his friend, whose name he has forgotten, in order to make himself righteous in the sight of the police. This is what we do with God a lot. Repentance just doesn't mean being sorry for the consequences of our sin. That's what Judas had. That wasn't true repentance. Repentance means taking full account for the one who has done the sin, not blaming anyone else. And that's where Job's problem was, from God's point of view. You condemn me, that you may be in the right. It's said even by believers, even Lutherans. I've heard people say, Pastor, this happened to me. What did I do to deserve that? And see, they're blaming God for giving them something that they didn't deserve. Even though on a Sunday morning, in the confession of sin, many of them will say, we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. You see, I believe that most believers have no problem with the gospel, that their sins are forgiven, Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead for them. But they really have a problem with the law. They really don't think they're as bad as perhaps their next-door neighbor or an employee at work or somebody else. That's where the real problem is. It's very difficult to believe what one says, that they're such poor, miserable sinners, they deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And we're talking about believers. These aren't unbelievers who are making this confession of sin. But there is a response that Job has as he begins to recognize who God really is. It's found in chapter 42. And this is, to me, another big section of the book of Job. It's the way God works. Job answers the Lord and says, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now that's Job speaking. That's a real confession of sin. In fact, what's the word in the creed that we use to talk about that God can do all things and that no purpose of his can be thwarted? I believe in God the Father Almighty. And the word Almighty means not that God can do anything. For instance, he can't send a Christian to hell. But it means that he has all might. There's no power outside of God. The devil has no power at all. And the book of Job is a beautiful example of how even the devil had to get permission from God to cause evil from our point of view on humans. God only permits that. And when he does permit that to a Christian, is always to work out for their good. So God says in verse 3, chapter 42, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? So Job is being asked that question. You think that you can give me counsel when you don't have the knowledge? It's kind of like a little child telling their parent, this is what you should do for me. Like, I don't want to eat vegetables. I just want to have ice cream for supper. That's all I want to eat. Well, no parent's going to allow that. Back to Job then, after God says, therefore, Job says, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Then God says, hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Now, this next verse, verse 5 of chapter 42, is really important because it is the basis of the distinction between every other religion in the world and Christianity. Job says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Okay, what's he talking about there? What does that mean? When he says, I heard you by the hearing of the ear, those were rumors about God. Every religion in the world outside of Christianity, which is the only revealed religion, every other religion in the world is based on rumors about God. And the primary rumor about God is that God is a God of justice. We've mentioned this quite a few times before. I'm just putting it into the context of Job. What does that mean? That God is a God who will give you what you deserve. So if you're really nice to him, if you do good works, then guess what? He'll take care of you. But if you don't believe in him, if you speak out against him, if you question him, then guess what? He's going to make your life miserable. Every religion in the world has one goal, and that is to take what is miserable in your life and get rid of it by buying off God, meriting your salvation through your good works. Christianity, though, being the only revealed religion, it underscores that there is no good work that you can do that will satisfy God's anger. So while every other religion in the world attempts to placate an angry God or appease his wrath by our works, Christianity doesn't even begin to think in that way. Why? Because there is no work you can do that God needs. There is no gift you can give him that he's short on. Because everything is his. He's almighty. So while every other religion is based on rumors about God, and where do these rumors come from? We've explained this many a time on this program. They come from our experience. You don't get your boss to give you a promotion until you do really good work. So people just assume God won't promote you to heaven unless you do really good work. And that's why during this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, the teaching that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, is really important, because grace means that God gives gifts to those who don't deserve it. It's the very opposite of the understanding of justice many religions have. Now, it's not that God isn't just when he forgives your sins, because he does it on the basis of the death of Jesus Christ. But he's not just in the sense that, okay, finally you deserve the forgiveness of sins. You deserve the robe of righteousness. You deserve that all things are working to your good. No, nobody ever deserves that. What I want to really stress then is the next part which Job says. In my opinion, this is the proper response of the believer. The believer is one who just doesn't believe that Jesus existed or that he died or that he rose from the dead, but that all of that occurred for me. The gospel is focused on the promises, the gracious promises of God to a people who don't deserve them. That's really important. What is the proper response to coming to a realization that God gives us that which we do not deserve? It goes on from verse 5. I'll reread verse 5. And then to me, the key verse in regard to the response of the Christian. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Wow. That is the response of the believer when we recognize what Jesus Christ has done for us. Job, as a believer, did believe the promises that came through Abraham and others that through Isaac would come a Savior. Job clung to those promises. That's why there's a statement that God makes regard to Job, and I think a lot of people miss it, because If you ask most Christians, did Job have a proper attitude towards God? They'll say, no, 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 he was a sinner, he lost his faith, etc. But I want to read verse 7 and following of chapter 42, when the Lord speaks to the friends of Job who told him lies about God. Oh, you're getting all this evil because you were not done what God wants you to do. Listen to what the Lord says. After the Lord has spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has." Wow. In other words, no other religion outside of Christianity ever speaks about God rightly. But Job never lost his faith. Even when his wife said, curse God and die, he wouldn't do that. He still had questions. Having questions about how God is directing your life is not in and of itself damnable. But telling God off, telling that your eloquence and knowledge is better than God's, that's getting to a point where we're condemning God that we might be righteous in our own sight. By God's grace, Job repented of his words. He despised himself, repented in dust and ashes. That's why in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, much of the meaning often will have the word fear. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Because that fear is a proper fear, recognizing that in light of what we have done, what we have thought, and what we have said, we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But then we see what God has done for us. For the people of Israel, remember how the commandments start in Exodus 20? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And when you begin to recognize that, then the commandments are not done because you're bound to do them. You're now free to obey them, namely believing in him, not using his name in vain, remembering his Sabbath, honoring the father and mother that are his representatives, and we go on and on. That's what happened to Job. Unlike his three friends, who knew rumors about God, but did not know the true God, Job never really lost faith in God. He just had a lot of questions. And once those questions were answered, his goal, his purpose, his conclusion was, I repent in dust and ashes. Why is that the greatest work of repentance or the greatest work in God's eyes? Because you now give all credit to your salvation to God and God alone. On the next Long Gospel, we're going to be joined with Mark Smith as we take a look at part of a Navy hymn. But it says God not only protect us just on the sea, but also on land and in the air. That'll be our next Long Gospel. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.